too bad. Okay, I'm going to go through these exercises fairly quickly here. Lesson 47 that we assigned. I think I'll just run through them all quickly here, and then we'll get back into lesson 48. We were looking at the page 247, gotten somewhere around halfway through this, so I'm not sure exactly which forms I've given you, which ones I haven't. Number seven, that far down? Okay. Okay, let me do number six again just to double check. Make sure you've got it. You want the, it's poro-o, it should be pep-poro, pep-poro-ka, that's omega rho omega kappa alpha ending. The perfect middle and passive, pep-poro-mi, again, p epsilon p omega rho omega mu alpha iota. Then number seven, star-ro-o to crucify, should be estaroka epsilon sigma tau alpha epsilon rho omega kappa alpha. And then estaromai, same thing with omega mu alpha iota. And then zemio-o to injure should be ezemio-ka, that's epsilon zeta eta mu iota omega kappa alpha. And ezemio-mai, epsilon zeta eta mu iota omega mu alpha iota. Okay, 47b, identify the tense of each of the following forms, the verb hagiadzo, sanctify, consecrate, so forth, by putting an X in the appropriate space below. Okay, number one, hagiastate should be future. Number two, hagiasate should be aorist. Only difference is the augment. Well, and the ending there too for this form, the alpha. Number three, hagiakate should be perfect. And the only difference there, of course, is a kappa versus a sigma in this particular form. And he's purposely picking forms that are similar, except maybe one letter or something in this particular verb, so that you can train you to discriminate between these forms. Fourth one, hegiasmein, would be pluperfect. Pluperfect. Number five, hegiasamein, would be aorist. Number six, Hegiasmai, would be perfect. Middle passive there. And hagiase should be future. And number eight, hegiake should be pluperfect. Perfect. Number nine, hegiazete should be imperfect. And number 10, hagiazete should be present.
What did you say,
number eight? Number eight, pluperfect. Hagiake. Let's see. Let's see if I can. Just third person singular, the epsilon and the iota there.
Mm-hmm. I understand the kappa.
Oh, the kappa? That's just the regular form. This is the verb is somewhat, you know, like luo. It ends in a vowel stem there, so you can put the kappa on without any problem. So if you look at page 292 at luo, and you're perfect active there, see LLUK. You've got the kappa on that. But some of the other ones don't get kappa. That's probably why Nografo doesn't get it and so forth. See, did you ever break down the pluperfect that way? Well, the tense form of kappa is part of the base for both perfect or pluperfect. But some verbs don't have it. So that may be where the confusion came. Any other question? Okay. Then I think I had you do 47E. So I'll go through that one real quickly. That's just a matter of transforming a sentence and using a participle. So a number of pairs of sentences are given below. Combine the two into one, which will translate the English sentence as given. As illustrated in the model, basically it involves using a participle. So the model forms, Pifanarotai humin soze himas. And the combination is ho pepharomenos humin soze humas. He who has been revealed to us will save us. So the first passage says he has been revealed to us, and then he will save us. And so you want to combine that, he who has been revealed to us will save us. So basically, you just translate according to what the English says underneath here to combine these sentences. So number one, you should have something like, doxazomen ton kurion ton tetherapeukota tus asthenuntas. Yes?
I have post tetherapeukota.
Okay, the problem is... you had host, and then you had a finite verb form?
Yes.
Oh, you used a relative pronoun construction. Okay.
Maybe you specify that you did it.
Yeah, maybe they didn't do that, I guess.
Most of these, you had to go to a participle, but like the first two, I didn't think you had to.
Yeah, let me think about that. Yeah, you could probably get by with that on that one. On that one, it'll work. If you just use host there and start a new clause. Because the reason it'll work is because your who there is the subject of its clause. So you can do it there. And the next one would work that way, too. Okay, the form I've got, I'm using participle here, be ton tetherapeukota. Tau epsilon theta epsilon rho alpha rho, excuse me, alpha p epsilon upsilon kappa omega tau alpha. So either way, you want a perfect, you either want a perfect participle or the perfect form that you had there, root form. Yes?
Would you put at the start of the sentence
off that for left? Oh, yeah, you could do that. You don't really need it so much because they've got doxazomen, and just putting in that form, you could. Yeah, but you could put athes there; it'd be fine. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions on that? So you, on this one, you do have an option of going to a relative pronoun construction or a participial construction. You don't always have that option, though. Okay. The number two, give bread to us who have forgiven our debtors. Say, dos hemin ton arton hemon, tois afesin, tois ofeletas hemon. So using a second aorist active participle there. To us who have forgiven our debtors. Okay.
You're not using a perfect active participle?
Maybe
that's what he's
done for this. Yeah. Yeah, he might want it for the exercise. He uses a perfect form here.
That's what I do.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. This one is kind of nebulous because you can get by either way. Because they'll actually, in reality, most often probably use an aorist participle in something like this. To give action antecedent to the action of the main verb is normally aorist participle. But did you get the. What was the form that worked out for the. Part, for the?
I think it's a fable.
Okay. If it goes in with omega?
No, with the omicron.
Okay. Anybody else work it out? I didn't check on this one, so I'll put that down as an option. You had usin? Okay. I've got to make sure there's no irregularities in that one. Well, let's see. What we want here is, yeah, I would think it would be an omicron epsilon there, too. Just check the verb.
You never gave us a paradigm
of the participle forms. Yeah, just assume it's the same as what you've seen before, except, well, let's see, maybe you should have... you see, yeah, it's omega sigma, wea, os, added to the perfect active base. So, lelukos, leluquia, lelukos, etc., lelukotos. Okay. Well, yes, it is OC. The problem here is that the stem, see, the usi would come if it was a new tau stem, and this is just a tau stem. So that's the trick. the bottom page 290, you'll find that Lelu Kosi. So this should be, depending on how that stem looks out, works out, yeah. But you don't have the augment, so... checking in the back there what the base of that verb is. I don't see it listed back there. Yeah, afe kosi is what I would expect it to be, or kosin, just omicron. Okay. But then you could sidestep the whole thing by using the aorist. The aorist is aphasin. That's alpha, phi, epsilon, iota, sigma, iota, optional, nu.
Was the verb that you gave us, number one, was that also an aorist participle?
No, I used a perfect on that one. Yeah, I guess I was just not consistent there. You could have probably done that, too. It's real hard when you've got the English and you've got to put the Greek in. Because it's hard to second guess and see what they wanted to put there. So if you decide to use an aorist participle on that one, it'd be all right too. Yes, Steve.
Which noun is this really patterned after that perfect participle? Like on page 117, is the tau stem? Is it one of those?
Yeah, it's a tau instead of a new tau stem. So it would be more like, are you looking page 117? Yeah, see if I can find one for you here. Okay. Don't have otos there. It may not be like any of those. It's not really like any of those. It's more like, karatos there, except that's got an iota. But if you change the iota to omicron, it's more like that. So it's, and you can pick up that information from bottom of page 290.
So that's where I'm trying to find
that. Right. Yeah. I don't know if there is one back there that matches that. Most all of them are new tau's.
How to put it together?
Well, they do give you enough for the forms here. They give you the oddball ones. You see, they give you the nominative, lelukos, leluquia, lelukos, genitive singular, lelukotos. That'll tell you what the stem is. Then the only question might be what happens to the dative plural. And so they give you what happens to that, OC and so forth, so you can infer the rest of it from that.
Page 117, though, is that the Clarice has etos for the genitive, and then both at the bottom has photos for the genitive, and they both have
it. Yeah.
How omicron sigma at the end, well, which one does it follow?
Yeah.
I mean, now to figure out what to do with it next.
Yeah. Well... yeah, just assume that the stem is otos and that it's going to follow, the dative plural is the only other one. It's going to be omicron all the way through the rest of them. And in that case, it would be, I'm trying to find back here again, it should be like, it's not so much like photos because that keeps that omega all the way through. There's really none here that's just like it. But it's more like karatos. And if you just substitute the iota, omicron for the iota, it's going to be like that. The only problem there is going to be the dative plural. And that's going to keep its tau. And it's, or excuse me, OC. It would be OC instead of IC. Well, yeah, I guess that would be fine, too, if you just substitute the omicron all the way through it.
Would the neuter then be the same?
Well, the neuter gets... and the neuter just gets omicron, but it does keep a sigma. So it's just going to take the same endings. It's going to follow the same pattern. It's going to be the same, exactly the same in the dative plural. So that is a little tricky, though. He didn't make a very big point of it. Just puts a little note down here, and then it actually gives you enough forms to do it, assuming that there's no irregularities that you don't know about. And I assume that that's what he's getting at there. You're not going to see these very frequently. That's probably why there's, you know, not so much emphasis on them. Yes.
Is that a me verb?
Afiemi, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, afiemi, and I can't even find it in the back here.
It's not in the back.
Yeah, did you have to look it up someplace else? Did we have it in as an exception someplace in the lesson?
Earlier in the chapter.
Oh, okay.
Page 289.
Oh, good. I thought it should be around here someplace to use it.
As an ending.
Okay. Yeah, you've got the A cut for the perfect active and the A mi. Yeah. So you just put the off on the front of that as your prepositional prefix.
Perfect, that would be A.
Yes, right. You'd have the augment, right. So, afe cosi would be the form then. Or just afesin if you use the aorist. Okay, well, let's see if we can move on here. I thought this was going to be easy, but they always do that to you. Number three, ho Christos egegertai ek nekron. There's only one possibility, it'd be a lot easier. That's why it's really much easier to go from Greek to English. And then, hoi mate tai echaresan. So you want to Christu. You're going to put this, after Christ had been had risen or been raised from the dead, the disciples rejoiced. What kind of construction are we going to need there?
Genitive
absolute, right. Because we've got a different subject for the main verb. So to Christu, geger menu ek nekron, hoi mate tai echaresan. So to Christu, putting that in the genitive, then putting a genitive participle, geger menu, gamma, eta, gamma, epsilon, rho, mu, epsilon, nu, omicron, epsilon. And assuming, he puts in parentheses, been raised, so it's pretty clear he wants a perfect for this one.
Mm-hmm. You don't have the augment on...
I don't know why I don't have it on there. Normally, participle. For the perfect, won't have it. If it's pluperfect, you might. Yeah, there's no pluperfect participle. You don't have to worry about that. See, your that reduplication is what's kind of taking the place of that. Even in your perfect active forms, there's no augment. It's just your pluperfect that optionally gets them. So you just won't have one. And that would change that earlier form too. You just have an afekusi for the above one too, just because there's no augment there. He said he's not, I don't know if he listed that specifically or not. He just said stick it onto the perfect active base. And, the reduplication you're going to have, definitely, because that's part of the.
So the question is.
But whether you have the augment in addition to that. See, the augment is a separate thing, and the augment only occurred in the pluperfect optionally. See that epsilon. In the perfect, you never had the augment, even in the normal forms, you know. So if you look at the page 290, they're giving luo as an example. You've got lelukos, and so with no augment on it, but you've got the reduplication.
Well,
so.
Perfect form, too.
Yeah. No, it's not mentioning pluperfect because there's no pluperfect participle, so we don't have to worry about those. But the pluperfect forms, the normal verb form, that's going to have, if you see top page 292, an optional augment on that. But you may not see it, you know, more often than not, you probably won't see it even there. See, that reduplication gives enough information that is perfect that apparently they can get by without an augment.
Well, this is
no, apparently not. I think he just, where did he mention that?
It's just the perfect indicative.
And there's not very many of those either. Okay. So no augment. You just want geger menu, gamma eta, gamma epsilon, rho, Mu, Epsilon, Nu, Omicron, Epsilon. Okay. Number four. Yes, question?
Is the gay the reduplication?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't know if that, if I had to look that verb up in the back or what I have to do on that one. Just assume it was. That must have been as a result of irregularity. Did you find it someplace? Okay. Usually you'll find it someplace if they're going to throw it in like that. Okay. Yeah, there it is. From Egeiro. Okay, Egergetai. Perfect passive. No, that's got me wondering if I need the epsilon on there. Yeah, it doesn't look like it's augmented, it's just part of the base. So you may be right that the epsilon's there. I don't know why I got what I've got here. These are indeed difficult. If they were all real regular, let me see what the back says here, gear rule. Okay, gear my perfect passive. Yeah, you should have an epsilon on there, but it's not the augment. Okay, it's just part of the base. This is just a plain irregular one. So you started at Gagaro, and do you get a reduplication? You know, a lot of them just won't get any reduplication, but this has got kind of a mix between a reduplication and but it slid into the middle of the word. You know, that epsilon is still the first epsilon in the word. It's not the augment. So that's my mistake there. So it should be a Gagar menu, and there's an epsilon there, but it isn't the augment. That may be what you had originally, Mark, on that.
Oh, you're saying the epsilon isn't the augment?
It's not the augment, but it is supposed to be there. This is just a wildly regular verb, and you just had to look up the back and find out what it is. Okay. So, that, in other words, there's a funny reduplication that's taking place here. Okay. Should have been tipped off just by the perfect form, Egeger tie here, that they're giving, so. An error there.
I saw the epsilon.
Oh, yeah.
Straight. You know.
Yeah, it's just because it's irregular. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You got it right, you didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know why. All right. I don't know how I eliminated the epsilon. I don't know where I would have gotten that form. Well, so be it. Okay, number four, bebaptismatha dekaio theistomatha, and so since we've been baptized, we shall be justified. So, bebaptismenoi, since we've been baptized, dekaio theistomatha. Keep this other verb just the same. So, we just want a perfect participle here again, and passive. So you have the men, and then your omicron iotas indicating your nominative. Masculine plural. Bebaptismenoi. Beta, epsilon, beta, alpha, p, tau, iota, sigma. Mu, epsilon, nu, omicron, iota. Okay. And I got through one of those decently here. Number five. Hyrekasen ton Christon, uketi zetesusen auton. When they have found the Messiah, they will no longer seek him. So, hyrekates ton Christon, when they have found, using perfect participle again, and from Hirisco, Hirekates, Epsilon, Upsilon, rough breeding, Rho, Eta, Kappa, Alpha, Tau, Epsilon, Sigma. Okay, and it's Hireka was your base, your active base, so you had to build it from that.
Hireka
was the base that you'll get in the back there for the perfect active. And again, that's an irregular one in a way. It doesn't get a reduplication. And the sigma drops out and funny things happen. So hurake is your base and then you're adding your normal endings. Hurake ates. Alpha, tau, epsilon, sigma. Okay, third person plural. Number six. U koidasin tas grafas u pistusin esauton, because they do not know the scriptures, they do not believe in him. Okay, you want may now for your negative. So may oidates tas grafas. May oidates. This is from oido, oida, which of course is peculiar. Perfect forms for present meaning. So even though we have present meaning here, we're still using a perfect form, so your participle is going to be likewise. May oidates. Omicron iota delta, excuse me, delta alpha tau epsilon sigma. Question?
Would it be eidetes?
Well, that would be pluperfect. See, the question, what you want is because they do not know the scriptures. It's a present meaning. So your perfect form will give you a present meaning. If you had passive, if you had because they did not know the scriptures, they do not believe in him, then you'd use a pluperfect participle there.
Which participle did you use?
I used perfect, which gives you present meaning. So it'd be just oidates.
Well, that's what I thought on page 293 in the participle.
Mm-hmm.
Eidos, is that?
Oh, yes. Okay.
Perfect.
Well, that one's irregular, so I didn't catch that. Yeah, you're right. I'm going to change all these here. If it were regular, it would have been oidetes. Since it's not, yeah, it's eta.
I thought it was probably irregular since it was oidetes.
Yeah. Well, you look through the paradigm folio. That's what you should have done. Okay.
Eidotes.
So you should have epsilon, iota, delta, omicron, tau, epsilon, sigma. Another irregular one. Okay, that's one verb you do have to watch. In the oida forms, it's pretty easy to identify, and the rest of them is tricky. Question? Go ahead.
Yeah, I know quite good. What is it, omega or
omicron? It's omicron tau. It starts out omega, but then but the stem is omicron tau. And that you can...
Epsilon sigma at the end?
Yeah, omicron tau epsilon sigma. Because the stem was otos that way. In other words, it's not an ontos type, but it's an otos. That's after the pattern in the bottom page 290. So we're going to assume the rest of it's okay. The stem is irregular, clearly irregular here. And see, this is a little bit unusual because the participle has a different stem. In other words, your normal rule is to find your perfect base and build your participle from that. And this would be tricky in that you know, even with irregular verbs, the irregularity usually carries, the same irregularity carries into the participle, but on this one, the participle is even different than the regular base, so it's an easy one to get tripped up on. Yes?
I put
because. Okay.
And then I just
oh, you just use the finite verb form. Oh, I see. Okay. Well, really, it would work. It would work. You've got two independent sentences there, and you could just make a dependent clause and so forth. Yeah, you could do that. That's the easy way out. You'd avoid that verb form. But if you want the challenge, go ahead and do it the other way. Okay.
Well, I was looking at because we learned that cause and effect was not legitimate in participles.
Uh-huh.
And they had a because here, and I remember saying because and since are not really.
Yeah.
I know that he's using it that way, so we have to reinterpret.
Yeah, right. Well, see, right. What he's actually got for his sentence is not knowing the scriptures, they do not believe in him. In other words, that's. And because is, you know, kind of, that's the way he's translating it. I think that's what he really wants. But if you want to get a clear because in there, I think you've got a good point that you, DOT, would make that unambiguous. But see, let me clarify this by saying that you can use participles in sentence structures where you're trying to convey cause and effect. But the use of a participle does not automatically convey that. it's a kind of a one-way thing. You can, in using the participle, you cannot guarantee that the thing's cause and effect. All you've got here is a circumstantial participle and so forth, or something of that nature. There's several possibilities for it. And then context might decide for you that it is cause and effect. But if you use something like DOT or something, then you've got an unambiguous construction. Okay, well, let's try the last one here. Well, I always have fun with that one. Heste kai pi tain thuron krue ho kurios. The Lord who stands at the door is knocking. Okay. Ho kurios ho hestos epi tain thuron krue. So ho estos, I think they gave you someplace participle form for that. Yes, on remark 3, page 293 there. Perfect active participle of histeme is irregular. So hestos is for standing, the intransitive form. And we want the nominative singular. So it'd be epsilon sigma tau omega sigma. And you probably could have gotten by with a hos on this one too. And just, you know, hos crue, ho. Well, let's see. Host crew A, if I suppose, and just knock the Hokurios over there. Este que api ten turan. You probably want to reword the whole thing. Hokurios, este que api ten turan. Yeah, let's see. Yeah, you probably have to do it this way. Hokurios, host este que api ten turan crew A, something like that. You could probably work it around. Anybody do it that way? Okay. Good. Well, that was a fun exercise, yes.
Can you spell answer to number 5
again? 5. Okay, hure kates. I used the participle there. So epsilon, upsilon, rho with rough reading on the first, and then eta, kappa, alpha, tau, epsilon, sigma. That's what I've got there. Well, let's see. I'm wondering about that now, too. The base was hure. Look at the back there. Yeah, it made me want an omega, an omicron there, because... okay, hureka is your perfect form, so hurek, and then I guess it would just be, assuming it's regular, we may just want an omicron there, otes. Hureko test. So I think you're right on that. That alpha is just part of your ending system, it's not part of the base. So you'll have hureke, and then that should be changed to an omicron. Hureko test. Let's double check this again. Yeah. Yeah, I wish he'd given a full paradigm of the participles here. That would have been a lot better for everybody. Because as it is, there's just... It's so easy to gravitate to an aorist type. See, I'm sure the reason I got the alpha there was just... the mind going back to the thematic alpha for the aorist participle, but this is a perfect participle, and you've got alphas in the that alpha shows up in the normal endings of the perfect for the finite forms, but in the participle, looks like we're going to an omicron all the time.
Can I infer knowing the participle of the aorist?
Oh yes, you can clearly infer that. That's part of the reason why you have to slow down and work on these, because you're used to dealing with aorist participles. And whenever you're dealing with an action, you know, the aorist is usually covering most of that, unless very rarely going to see a perfect participle. But that's probably what the difficulty with this, too, and the fact that he's treating it so lightly, not giving it full paradigms and so forth, which is too bad in a way. But you have to put the emphasis where most of the work is. Okay. Well, we'll leave it at that for now, and we'll just have to be watching for these. I think this is typical of most books on it, though. You don't find big chapters on perfect participles by any means. Okay, going to lesson 48, we'll have something a little tamer for a while. The rest of the book is not too difficult. uses the case as vocative. I suppose the optative might be the only thing that would raise more questions on endings, and those are even more rare. So lesson 48, reflexive pronouns. The ordinary personal pronouns, the ones in lesson 15, may be used in Greek as in English with reflexive meaning. Reflexive means doing it to yourself or upon yourself, that type of thing, coming back upon you. So Matthew 11:29, arateton zugon mu ef humas, take my yoke upon you. So it's a command, this is an imperative, take my yoke upon you. And you're getting a reflexive idea because it's a second person verb form, in effect, as being an imperative like that. And then you've got the second person form of the pronoun, and that will give you this reflexive sense. But as a general rule, Greek uses special forms to express a reflexive meaning. Note that in the paradigms below, no nominative forms occur. Okay, there are special sets of pronouns, reflexive pronouns, that are used to get the idea of myself, yourself, himself, etc. And look at the first person singular. Now notice there's no nominative forms. Can anybody guess why that would be the case? Why no nominatives? Yeah, you don't normally say myself did this and myself did that. Some people talk that way, but they're a little strange. In other words, the idea of a reflexive is an action coming back upon yourself, and it's almost of necessity going to either be in an object position or in an indirect object position or the object of a preposition or something like that. And so you're going to see the other cases, but not the nominative case, because you're not going to see, if you want to say you did something, you just use the normal pronoun. It's not a reflexive idea itself, yes.
Although, what if you wanted to say, I myself did it?
If you do that, that's the emphatic form. And that would be using the form of autos, remember, in the emphatic form. In fact, you'll make a distinction there a little bit later on this. I don't know if we'll get to it today or not, but it's in here. In other words, you'll, you know, I myself did it or he himself did it and so forth. That's that intensive use we saw with autos a while back. Or you can put out tos, you know, the Lord himself versus the same Lord. Remember that distinction, depending on whether you use predicate or attributive positions. So that can be said, but it's done a different way. Okay. So your forms here, first person form, mautu for the genitive, mauto, mauton, pretty straightforward conjugation. Second person, seautu, seauto, seauton. Third person, heautu, heauto, heauton. And then you have feminine and neuter forms there. Heautes, heaute, heautain for the feminine. And heautu, heauto, heauto for the neuter. Those are all pretty straightforward from what we've seen in our normal second declension, first declension type paradigm. And there's no gender distinction for the first and second person, but there is for the third. And then the plural, all persons, is heauton, heautois, heautus. And that can be, you know, we've got masculine, feminine, neuter forms there, but there's no distinction there. All the plurals are lumped together as far as the persons are concerned. In other words, it's first, second, third person is all the same forms in the plural. And so you have to look at context, or usually it's the main verb or something that will tell you whether it's first, second, or third person, whether it's you, ourselves, yourselves, themselves, is going to be determined by the verb form in the context. Several notes here. Note one, the feminine forms mautu and seautu do not occur in the New Testament. They would be required if the speaker or person addressed were female. So it just turns out, apparently the forms could theoretically exist, but they don't in the New Testament. So in the New Testament, you never find the reflexive pronoun in the feminine for the first and second persons. And of course, if, in other words, there's no woman in the New Testament that talks about doing something to herself. And there's no one that's addressed second person as a woman who's doing something, you know, telling the woman to do something to herself. And so it just doesn't turn up in the New Testament. Note two. It will be noticed from the paradigms above that a single set of forms was used for the reflexive pronoun of all three persons in the plural. We noted that. In translating these forms, therefore, one must refer to the subjects of the clauses in which they stand. So you have to look at the subject of the clause itself. And, of course, that's usually, if the subject isn't overtly stated, it will be seen in the verb form oftentimes. Note three, the reflexive pronouns of English are formally identical with pronouns used for emphasis. They are easily distinguished, however, since the emphatic forms corresponding to the forms of autos in Greek are always appositive. Okay, The problem here, this is the thing that Mark is asking a question about. In English, the word myself, when I myself did it or I did it to myself, is the same form. In Greek, they're different forms. In Greek, if you're doing it to yourself, you use the reflexive pronoun. If you're saying I myself did it, you'll use this emphatic form corresponds to these forms of autos. And they're always in apposition, as it were. They're always a positive. In other words, you stick the thing right together with the other thing. It's not separated by other words and so forth, as this reflexive pronoun would be. So he gives a few examples here to show the idea. John 17:19, ego hagiazo em auton, I consecrate myself. Now, he gives a footnote on this one, and it's worth looking at here. It says, both the Greek and the English pronouns are reflexive. They would be emphatic in such a sentence as, ego autos hagiazo autus, I myself consecrate them. That would be the sense in which you'd see the emphatic form, a form of autos here. And it's a positive, the ego autos. It's stuck right together with the ego, with the pronoun here. And but with the reflexive pronoun, that's put in normal object position. Now remember, word order isn't so strict with this reflexive pronoun, but it is strict with the use of autos as the intensifier here. That emphatic sense has some pretty rigid restrictions as far as its form. It's going to have to be in this appositive position. So you could have autos ego or ego autos. It could be on either side, but it's going to have to be in apposition to it. Yes. Yes. Well, that's a different kind of emphasis, though. Yeah, it is. It's still. You're right about that. The fact that ego is in there is emphatic, but it's not the same kind of emphasis that you see down here. In other words, we've got a different kind of emphasis. The I myself do it is putting that autos there, making the I even more emphatic than it was. So you've got degrees of emphasis here, you might say. In other words, you could have had three stages here. You could just say, hagiazo em auton, I consecrate myself. Ego hagiazo em auton, I consecrate myself. Or ego autos hagiazo, in fact, you could even put em auton on that too. And then you'd get a real, I consecrate myself. You know, I mean, it's just a little, I myself consecrate myself. It's you know, if you really wanted to overemphasize maybe. So there are different degrees of emphasis. And, you know, that could be considered, irregardless of the reflexive pronoun now, you can use a verb form with no pronoun, you can use a verb form with a pronoun, you can use a verb form with a pronoun and a form of autos to put this myself idea into it and get even more emphasis. Okay, any other comment on that? Okay, then the rest of the examples. Sozon, Luke 23:39, Sozon se auton kai hema, save yourself and us. Again, se auton here is in an object position here, second person singular form of that. Mark 4:17, uk es echomen rizan in he autois. They have no root in themselves. Luke 15:20, eilthen pros ton patera he autu. He came to his own father, came to his father. The father himself, as it were. And so it can be used in the genitive. Kata tas he auton epithumias, according to their own desires. And again, here is the desires of themselves, as it were, their own desires. We'll see this idea of their own expressed in another way pretty soon, too. And then he autus planomen, we deceive ourselves. There's an action where it's this very purely and simply reflexive idea in the accusative forms used here. Yes?
There is no 1 John 1:18. It should be 1 John 1:8.
Oh, it's an error there? Yeah. It should be 1 John 1:8. Okay, that's good. A little typo there. Thank you. Okay, then the adjective idios, the one I was mentioning, idios aon, which is your standard declension here, means private, one's own, or peculiar to oneself. It's sometimes used as a possessive adjective corresponding in meaning to the genitive form batos, but it is usually reflexive. So you can use it to just be like a possessive adjective to talk about his own thing, you know, his book or whatever. And you could use idios for that. Although I think if it were me and doing translation, if I see idios, I'm going to want to translate it more emphatically or more specifically as his own or its own, rather than just translating it his, because you can do his just with a form of autos in the genitive. And that's the most commonly done thing. This is, when you see idios, you just don't make it another equivalent of autos. I think that's weakening again and really obscuring the distinctions. Yes. Yes, it is. In fact, it's used in a substantive sense there, I think. And we'll see what he'll be talking about his substantive use in pretty soon. But Acts 20:28 says, the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. His own there is idios there. And it could be translated with the blood of his own, just as easily from the Greek, and using it as a substantive. And he'll cover that usage here. He doesn't use that one as an example, but he does mention the substantive use. And it's quite frequently used as a substantive. A number of places in the scriptures where it's clearly used that way. His own one, or, its own thing. So idios is sometimes used for the first and second persons as well as for the third. Let's see, I guess I didn't look at that first example. Matthew 25:14, anthropos ekalesentus idios doulos. A man called his servants. Now, he's just translating it his, but it should be translated his own servants. His own servants. Just more emphasis, more specific, it's just a weaker translation, in my opinion. Because if he just said, if a Greek wanted to say man called his servants, all you'd need is tous autous doulos. Tous doulos autou would probably be the best. His, just using the genitive form of autos. That's what's commonly done. But to use an adjective form here, tous idios doulos, and have his own, I think you need to make a distinction in your translation that way. Because this word isn't used that often. And when it's used, one can certainly infer that it's being used for a reason. Now, 1 Thessalonians 2:14, it shows it's used in the first and second person as well as for the third person. So it can be used when we want to talk your own thing or my own, the same form idios is used. It's just an adjective form. It doesn't have any distinction first, second, third person. Most often you probably see it used third person, but it is also first and second as well. So ta auta epatheta hypoton idion sumphuleton. You suffer the same things for your own countrymen, from your own countrymen, your own now. And you're getting the fact that it's your own from the context, because it's a second person verb form. And so you're addressing someone, and then you're inferring that from the context. See, all idios means is one's own, and that one can be either you, me, he, she, or it, singular or plural. Idios is sometimes used in addition to the genitive forms of the personal pronouns for emphasis. Again, here, this is showing the sense of this thing. You can use the personal, the normal form of the personal pronoun, genitive forms, and use this in addition. So here's an example, Acts 2:8. Hemes akoumen hekastos te idia dialecto hemon. Now, it says we hear each one in our own tongue. And notice you've got idia here, our own tongue, and then hemon, ours. And you've got a double emphasis there. It's almost hard to translate that one. You see, in other words, if you took the idia out of that, you'd still have, we hear each one in our tongue. But if you put the idia in there, you could just say, te idia dialecto, our own tongue, and forget the hemon. But they've got both the hemon here and the idia there. It's really a strong emphasis. Yeah, the hemes to start off. We hear, and you're using the form and the verb form, and then idia, and then hemon. We hear each one speaking in our own tongue. You really get a very strong emphasis from that. They really want to emphasize the point that they are actually hearing it in their own the tongue of their own native land, and they're very surprised about it. Right, very own might even be better. You've got to do something with it, to try to get that extra emphasis there. That might be a good way to do it, in our very own tongue. Well, I don't know what the ratio is. It does happen, but the question is, how common is it to give that strong of emphasis? It's certainly more rare than the other type, because of the fact that there's greater emphasis being given here. Yeah, it does. It's something similar to... No. That'd be worth exploring as a possibility of a Hebraism. Yeah, right. We'll have Jim track that down. Okay, idios is also used substantively. Is that the second bell already? No, just first bell. Okay. The substantive, of course, means that it's functioning like a noun. So John 13:1, agapesas tus idios, having loved his own ones, you see, tus idios. So you're taking the thing as functioning like a noun, and this does happen quite frequently, and we need to keep aware of that. Most of the time when it does, it's in the plural, his own ones. And it's in a similar setting to this example we see here. I did look up a bunch of those. One issue I was looking at theologically. Okay, the adverbial use of the dative idia separately, privately, individually, and the phrase end of the phrase kat idion, excuse me, in private by oneself, privately should also be noted. So just we've seen before taking adjectives and using them adverbially, and that's what's happening here. Either using the dative, just the dative form of it in an adverbial sense, distributing to each one individually, diairun idia hekasto. To each one, hekasto is to each one, so distributing to each one individually, you know, by, you have to kind of look at the context to see what fits the best, whether it's privately, separately, individually, what the sense is exactly. And then, anebe kat idion, he went up by himself. Kat idion is just more of an idiomatic expression, again, by oneself, privately. So it's a prepositional phrase, kata, and then idion. All right, then, section 377, we see this reciprocal pronoun. The idea of reciprocal is action going back and forth between two. Now, the reflexive is action coming back upon oneself. Now we see the action going both directions. One person doing something to one and the other same time, and another person doing it to the other one. And the meaning of the English phrase, each other, and there's the idea, to do it to each other, is usually expressed in Greek by the reciprocal pronoun allelon, allelon. And the conjugation of that is given, again, no nominative forms. We just have genitive, dative, accusative. Allelon, allelois, allelus, allelon, allelais, allelas, allelon, allelois, allela. And so that's pretty straightforward from your normal paradigm. Yes, question?
Do you know what this is? Is this a compound word formed from allos and...
It looks like it. I have never, you know, really tried to track it down, but I think the allos, you know, being other, would be certainly in there. I'd be willing to bet on that. As far as the other part of it, perhaps holos or something could be involved. I think that might be only a guess. But the ale, the first part there, I think, is related to what we've seen before for allos, because it means another, you know, a different one. And that's clearly the idea of this, you know, doing it to a different one, doing it to each other. Okay, 1 John 1:7, we see just the way in which it's used. And koinonian ekomen met allelon. We have fellowship with each other, with one another, with each other. Again, this is always going to be used in a plural form. Prosiuskaste huper allelon, pray on behalf of each other. You know, so pray over each other, as it were, on behalf of each other. Dora pemphusin allelois, they will send gifts to each other. There's allelois as an indirect object function. And aspasaste allelus in philemati hagio, greet one another with a holy kiss, greet each other. So again, you've got the direct object function there. Okay, we'll have to stop here. No assignment for tomorrow. We'll finish this chapter tomorrow. Rather lengthy chapter. There's another whole area here of indefinite pronouns and adjectives and so forth, which is an important one. This allelos, though, is not too difficult. It's pretty straightforward. Then chapter 49 will be on the vocative and other uses of the cases, and then 50 on the optative, and we're done. Then we get to do some fine-tuning. I think what we'll do the rest of this semester is we'll start getting into John now and start translating regularly, and then start looking at Dana and Matthew, and then the beginning of next semester we'll start some...